This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast, and it's the show you never want to record. It is the end of the road for the Washington Capitals this season. They were swept by the President's Trophy New York Rangers. The Capitals are going home. It's an early summer. They're hitting the golf course. Unless you're TJ Oshie, you're probably not hitting the golf course. But a lot of plans going on for the summer vacations. Unfortunately, the only Stanley Cups we will be drinking out of cost about $60 at Target. Well, you don't have one? Come on. Coach Dan doesn't have one? Nothing. Okay. Well, joining me as always to talk all about it, apparently about Stanley Cups as well from Target. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little bummed. I was hoping that we were going to get at least one more game out of the Caps, maybe go to a game five. But here we are, game four, swept. I've shaved. My beard has been trimmed. My girlfriend is very happy about that. That's about all we're really happy about. Unfortunately, the Caps not going to be hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup this offseason. But is what it is. What's your takeaway from this series against the Rangers? I think this one really showed the weaknesses that the Capitals had and kind of played through this past season.
It was kind of an all-encompassing view of this past season, where it was just not a lot of offense. Power play was kind of crap. And a lot of players were, I don't think anybody was coasting per se. You know,
I was just going to say, even with game four, third period game four, I felt like everybody was still in it. Everybody thought they could win it. They were trying their absolute best, but just the best wasn't good enough.
I mean, I know there's some talk out there by some other podcasters, some other people on the Twitterverse that are, you know, discussing how the Caps didn't do this, do that. And some people were coasting. Some people weren't trying. Some people didn't care, blah, blah, blah. And I don't buy that. I think the Caps, to an extent, were playing playoff hockey going as far back as like January and February. And I think to some extent they ran out of gas. I think we saw that with Ovechkin, where he just kind of ran out of gas. I think we saw that with, and we can talk more about Ovechkin in a minute. We saw that with a lot of players where they were just done. And injuries also played a big part in this series. I mean, we had Sandin, Jensen, and Iorio. So that's three defensemen that went down before Van Riemsdyk went down. Oshie played with a broken hand. And I'm sure many other players had little things here and there that were bothering them. And it's one thing to go up against a President's Trophy winning team. So go up against a team that had the best record in the regular season. It's one thing to go up against a team that has as much talent as the Rangers do. And to do that knowing you're without a number of really good players, a number of very steady, reliable players, especially on your defense. And you're calling up these kids from Hershey, and then the kids from Hershey are getting hurt. You know, they did what they did. I feel like they did not the best they could, but I can understand how it ended the way it did. Like, I don't look back and go, you know what? If we had those guys, we would have won the series. I think we would have been more competitive. Maybe they don't get swept. But I think, like we talked about, and I put out there, you know, on Twitter, they would have had to have been perfect to get through this series. On, like, power play on point, penalty kill doing great, scoring at 5-on-5. And like none of that happened. Like none of it. And so I, you know what? The better team won. I think that's fair to say. And I don't think anyone should be out there being like, God, the Caps once again couldn't get through in the playoffs. This is not top seeded Caps like it was before. They were the eighth seed and they were the eighth seed for a reason.
They were the eighth seed for the conference, but they were the 16th seed. They were the last team to make it into the playoffs. So technically they were the 16th seed.
They were the 158th seed as far as the way they were playing. Like they were, you know, I think I brought this up on Twitter before, and maybe you and I texted about this, but I feel like the Caps got into the playoffs partially because they played well enough. And I don't know if I'm putting this eloquently enough that it'll make sense, but I also feel like they got in the playoffs because the other teams were just that much worse. Like it wasn't like the Caps were good enough to get into the playoffs. They were the best of a bad bunch. And when that's the case, getting to the playoffs, you're not going to get very far. But to be fair to this team, they're in a transition phase. They have a couple of older guys that have already transitioned out in terms of Backstrom, are potentially transitioning off this team in terms of TJ Oshie. And when you lose those guys, and you have a bunch of young guys that are just, you know, playing for the first time. I think they have 5 or 6 guys playing their first ever time in the playoffs.
Right.
You got a lot of young guys that are learning. You've got a couple of young guys that are playing big minutes like Hendrix LaPierre, who weren't really a part of the plan going into the season for this year. And they're playing big minutes. And to be fair to LaPierre, contributing that goal in game 4 was, you know, it would have been nice if the first shot had gone in, as opposed to the rebound, but I'll take it. It was a nice goal, and that dude's definitely earned a roster spot next season, barring like a horrendous training camp. But you know what? This team is where they're supposed to be. I don't know if they were supposed to get further. They would have had to play perfect. And going into Ovechkin, when you don't have Nick Backstrom, when you don't have TJ Oshie playing his best, when you don't have Kuznetsov and all these other star players that can put up points, teams can focus on one dude and you stop him and you're like, rest of the team, go ahead, show me if you can do something. And when the rest of the team can't do anything, then you got a problem on your hands. Because it's much easier to stop a superstar player when no one else is contributing. It's much harder when you're like, okay, we got to stop Ovechkin. Oh, wait, but we gotta stop Backstrom too and Oshie and Kuznetsov. And then going back, you know, a number of years ago, like there's all these other dudes that you have to try and shut down and they didn't have to worry about it. I mean, looking at the stats, we had no points from Ovechkin. I know he's on the fourth line, but no points from Nick Dowd, no points from Sonny Milano, no points from Beck Malinston, 1 point for Connor McMichael, Oshie, and Pacioretty. And they only had 2 goals in 4 games. They had 2 goals from their forwards during 5-on-5 play. They took a lot of penalties. That
can't happen in the playoffs.
No. You need to. I mean, look at when they won the cup. And we can look at other years, but this is one that comes to mind. You had Devontae Smith-Pelly, who offensively did not do much in the regular season. He stepped up and was tearing it up in the playoffs. No one stepped up this round outside of like LaPierre. I think players played well defensively. I think Lindgren ran out of gas, but he had a heroic effort. And I think that is part of the reason that they got swept. I still think they lose this series, even if they're playing. They would have had to play perfect to get through it. But let's give credit to the Rangers. They have a lot of weapons that they can put out there every night, guys who can score.
And Igor Shesterkin played out of his mind. 3-4 years ago?
Well, they were a rebuilding team, and then there was the horrific acts of violence, and then they kind of retooled again after that to get more, you know, big and buff and strong. Yeah. And the reality is the Rangers are where the Caps were at about 10 years ago. When, you know, got into that really that era of like Ovechkin, Semin, Mike Green, like all the weapons they had where they were like every line was like, stop shooting on us.
Yeah.
And right now the Caps are like, can anybody take a shot on net? Anybody? No. Anybody not named Alex? Want to take a shot on net, you know, Strome, get a little better. Wilson did okay. But the reality is they didn't have the offense. And when you're going up against, I mean, you're not going up against Columbus or Arizona, like you're or Utah now. You're going up against the Rangers, who are a very good team this season. So you have that. You have your inability to stay out of the box. You have the injuries. Everything worked perfectly in their favor for them to get knocked out and for them to get swept.
I mean, no, you can't do anything about injuries, unfortunately, but issues like not being able to stay out of the box, not taking shots, having no offense, is that a player issue or is that a coaching issue? Because to me, if you're taking penalties and like the Sandin penalty with like 3 minutes left in game four, that just was a dumb, dumb penalty. Why are you doing that? To me, that just seems like a coach who doesn't know how to discipline his team.
I think, I don't know if I'll go quite that far. I mean, I think when you have a lot of young guys, I think when you have a lot of young guys, I think when you have players that are coming back from being out injured, and it's like you can't just have a couple practices and a couple of, you know, game where you're not playing as many minutes to get up to speed. Like Jensen and Sandin coming back should have been more beneficial than it was, but the reality is the rust kind of did them in there. You know, I mean,
we
Jensen
saw that
losing the puck.
Yeah, 57 Jensen losing the puck, in.
Sandin with his penalty. And like some of these things are not, I don't think it's necessarily a lack of discipline. I think it's a lack of experience. And maybe it's a bit of the moment getting to them, the pressure of it all, kind of getting to some of these players because, I mean, a lot of them have not been in there. Even a guy who's a bit older, I mean, not older in terms of like real world, but older in terms of just he's been around the league for a little while, Dylan Strome, he's never played in the playoffs before. So, it was disappointing to get swept. It would have been nice to win a game or two. It was a bit unfortunate to be the only team that got swept, at least in the first round. But it is kind of where this team is at. I think they're going to be much better next season. I think this coaching staff actually did a really good job this year. And I think that they are in a good spot going into this offseason. There's, a number of questions, as there is for any team. But I think there's a number of questions for this team in terms of where they're going to be and what they're going to look like next year. And I think we could have probably two or three new faces, depending on a couple moves. I would not be shocked at all. And I'm talking like from outside the organization, not coming up from Hershey, but like outside the organization coming onto this roster.
Yeah, that's the thing. Having so much talent come from Hershey, and don't get me wrong, these young guys coming up are incredibly talented. But what the Capitals need right now is an impact player to come in immediately and change the dynamic of the team. You don't get 20 games to figure things out come September, October. They have to come in, know how to skate, and know how to shoot the puck because – yes, these Hershey Bears are great and they're coming up and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but there's a learning curve going from AHL to NHL. It happens to all of us. Like I think when Ivan Miroshevchenko made his first debut, everybody thought like this was the second coming of Alex Ovechkin. And Miro has been kind of a non-factor, and it's because he's learning. He's a kid, he's young. He's learning. He's going to get there, I have no doubt in my mind. But as of right now, he's got to work some stuff out. He's got to figure some stuff out. What they need is somebody from the outside to come in, and it can't be a guy that's half broken down like Max Pacioretty. Can't be a guy who may or may not fall apart. It's got to be somebody out there that's going to make an impact, that does it immediately, and changes the team. Like they've been riding the coattails of Alex Ovechkin for so long, and I think we've finally seen his age. You know, I was wearing my Carlson jersey on Sunday on the boardwalk in Ocean City, and more than one person came up to me go like, it's time for Ovi to go. Like, they got to put him out to pasture. I don't think that's necessary because, like, the guy has he reinvented this entire franchise. Like, he revitalized it. People in Baltimore actually care about the Capitals because of Ovechkin. He can go out whichever way he wants to go out. He reserves that right for me, where if he wants to play until he's 46, he's allowed to do so. But I say that at the same time, if Ovi's going to have that ability to do that and go out his own way, you got to surround him with other players that can do more than, you know, just follow Ovi. Because Ovi is older, he's slower, the game is faster, he can still shoot like with the best of them, and I want to see him beat Gretzky's record, but he's not the player he was 5-6 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but, you know, Coach Dan and I, we're not the same people we were either. It's just how it works out that you're getting older and things change. But I don't really know what my point is, to be honest.
Well, I think the point is he needs some help.
Yeah.
Like you can't. Yes. And I think let's say it's like prime era Ovechkin. You know, like skating and remember the goal against Montreal where he kind of backhanded. That's what
I was just about to say, the Montreal goal.
Like backhanded the puck and then spun around. Like I was out that game and like spun around and, you know, get down there, or like, you know, rookie year over, you know, the goal and all the kind of crazy things that he's done, goals in his career. Like even if you have prime Ovechkin, but you put him on this roster, they're better, but teams still can just focus on him. Right. Like, you have to surround him with talent. Like, think of – this is probably harsh, but, like, think of Rick Nash on Columbus, right? Like, incredible hockey player. But he had no help. Ovechkin needs other people to step up. Like, it can't just be the Ovi show. And now at 37 or 38, however old he is, 39, whatever it is, he's what? Well, no, I'm 39. So he's, I think, a year younger than me. It can't be the Ovi show. Like, just the Ovi show. It can be. But you've got to have other guys that are going to score. Tom Wilson is one of those guys, but he can't stay out of the box because he's hot-headed. Milano, who I like, disappeared offensively. How many points did Strome get in the playoffs?
I think he got one goal. But look at the goals. I mean, just saying this off the top of my head, you have Martin Fehervaari, who got two goals. You've got John Carlson, who I think got two goals.
That's, by the way, that's the only guy that scored more than one goal.
Yeah.
Is a defenseman.
So the defensemen are more offensive. Him, but
like, are you? Yeah. Like, what's going on there? We've got no help offensively right now. So, like, Tom Wilson and Martin Fehervaari are your two top point getters in the playoffs. What?
Right.
What? Like, no, that's not. We got goals from, let's see, only one goal. Carlson, Wilson, Strom, Connor McMichael. That's it. That's the list of all the dudes who scored goals in four freaking games. And you're telling me, like, anyone's trying to be like, well, the Caps should have done more. Yeah, they should have. Where's everybody else?
Right.
That's not good enough.
Now, is that not good enough from the players? Is it bad matchups? Is it bad line pairings? Like, what do you think is leading to that? You think it's all on the players?
I mean, it's players. It's the young guys. I think if they went up against a team that it wasn't as good as the Rangers, like if they were kind of going up against the Islanders or maybe even Carolina to an extent, although I think Carolina, if they play tonight, I think, likely they're going to get through the Islanders and then they go. I think Carolina beats the Rangers. So, but if they're going up as a team that's not quite as good, or if Shesterkin wasn't playing just as incredible as he was, then maybe they get a couple more goals. But I think a lot of it is just this team did not play good enough. A lot of players, they weren't coasting. They just weren't putting the puck in the net. And I think some of that is just because they have a number of young guys that maybe the moment did get to them. It's not the first time that's happened in professional sports where, you know, the pressure kind of gets you a little bit. But like we talked about beforehand, it was a great opportunity for these young guys to get some experience. And going into next year, obviously it depends on the moves that McClellan and the team make in the offseason. But if you can bring in a goal scoring winger, if you can unlock, but get some more experience from Miro Shevchenko, or maybe you have to bring in another guy who's going to score some goals, because depending on what happens with Oshie, that might actually push you to make another or have to try and bring in another guy. you know, then the opposing teams are going, all right, we got to shut down the first line with Ovechkin. Oh, wait, now we got to worry about this other line as well. And then you're looking at the rest of the lineup going, hey, you're going to contribute too, but we're going to get more opportunities and more experience for guys like Alexi Protas, like Connor McMichael. I have to imagine Hendrix LaPierre. And then do we see some more young guys come up from Hershey to fill some roles like an Ethan Frank, like a Pierre Dubé? Do these guys come up and start to contribute? You know, and then maybe at this time next year, do we see Ryan Leonard come in and start to do something? Or, and I kind of put this in the notes to shock you a little bit, do we see a big trade to retool this lineup a little bit? I mean, it's not unprecedented that a team will go, you know what, we've got this guy, he's synonymous with our team, but we need to shake things up. And sometimes, I mean, look at Boston. They're consistently competitive because they don't have a problem, shaking things up. Look at Vegas. They shake things up all the time if they don't feel like something's working. Do the Caps go out and try and make a big trade by moving someone that we are all shocked to see move? Not Ovechkin per se, but like something we're shocked to see move to sort of retool this lineup and maybe get a little bit more goal scoring in it.
The only guy I can see being traded is Darcy Kemper. I don't see them.
That's doing not going to get you the move you make, though. No, well, he's not the only guy who's getting traded, though.
I don't see anybody else getting traded. I don't. I see everybody else being at a good price tag where they're going to want to keep all of these players on the roster. I can see Max Pacioretty, and I can see Nicholas Aube-Kubel not being renewed for their contracts.
So who takes Aube-Kubel's part? I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, but I'm curious as to who takes Aube-Kubel's part. I can't really think of anyone in Hershey that I would call up to take that like fourth line, kind of grind it out.
Yeah.
I think they have two options to make that kind of big trade. We're all going, whoa. One is a young guy. Or you package, not like a McMichael or a LaPierre, but someone that you have coming up. Maybe there's a little bit of surplus, like a defenseman. Not Ryan Leonard per se, but a couple other young guys. And you're like, hey, we're going to package these two prospects we got that people are pretty high on to get a mid-20s goal scorer. You know, someone that could be on the roster, but that we want now. Or... and everyone's about to yell at me, but I'm going to throw it out there because he would bring in a big return. I guess there's actually two players bringing a big return, but like, unlike some, I think it was Dave Pagnotta or someone wrote about John Carlson getting traded to like shake up this roster. I don't see them doing that given how many young guys they're bringing up in between like Alexiev and Favari and Sandin. You know, I could see Jensen maybe getting moved in the offseason.
Right.
Just because. You might want to, Iorio looked like he was doing pretty well and maybe you want to give him a spot. And Favari's not really a young guy anymore. I mean, he's young, but like he's not one of the rookies anymore. Sandin's not really either. Maybe you keep Van Riemsdyk. He's still got another year on his deal. Interestingly enough, they have in 2 years, they'll only have one defenseman signed, Sandin. Everyone else will have either gotten a new deal or need a new deal by that point. But the other guy I think is a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it happened, I wouldn't be shocked is my point. The other guy I could see getting traded to shake up this roster is Tom Wilson.
I don't see that ever happening.
I mean, Gretzky got traded, so anybody can get traded.
That is true.
But the reason, if I was to argue for a Tom Wilson trade, and I'm not saying that I am, because if Leonard, like in a year or two, or if Leonard was a year or two older and was more established, I could see that happening. But I think one of the reasons that you would trade Tom Wilson, aside from the fact that he's hot-headed and he clearly hasn't learned from his suspensions, is what you can get back. Because it's not prospects. I mean, it probably would be. But that's how you're going to get a goal-scoring winger. That's one really good way to get a goal-scoring winger. You have to give up something worth value to get something that's worth value. Like no one's going to take Kemper and Milano and give you a 20 to 30 goal scorer. Like that's just not going to happen.
Come on.
It's not going to happen unless a team is like, unless I don't know. Like, unless a team is dumb enough to do what McPhee did in terms of the, what's his name?
Erat.
Thank you. For Forsberg. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. You have to give up something of value to get something of value. Now, typically in that kind of situation, you know, you're giving up picks and prospects, or, you know, a young guy in an NHL roster because you're a team that is like on the cusp of greatness and you're going to make that move. Like, I'm thinking, and I don't remember what the deal was, but I'm thinking of like the Tomas Hertl trade with, was it Hertl? Went to Vegas. It's like a move kind of like that. But I have a hard time seeing that happening, but the return for Wilson would be extraordinary. Again, I don't see it happening, but I think it's something that it's at least, if I'm the GM and someone says, hey, we're interested in Tom Wilson, I wouldn't be like, and hang up the phone. Like, I would be like, okay, what are you willing to give up? And I would hear them out. I'm still probably hanging up, but I'm having the conversation at least. Now, to be fair, again, Gretzky got traded, so pretty much everybody on this roster I'm having a conversation about, with the exception of Ovechkin. Which
I can see John Carlson going before Tom Wilson. Now, I would hate that because he has meant so much to this team. But 2018, that magical year for the Cup, that's getting further and further away in the rearview mirror. So at some point, we got to stop talking about it, because if we want to get another one, we got to stop living in the past. John Carlson is a fantastic talent. Any team would be lucky to have him. I think Tom Wilson has so much dirt on him that I don't think you would get a return like you're kind of thinking that we would for Tom Wilson. I mean, look at it. He accidentally hit a guy in the face. The guy didn't miss a shift, and he was out for 6 games. Due to his reputation, any team taking him would be a liability that he's not going to be there for every single game. So I think it's true. Like, it's
no, I'm laughing partially because your delivery was very good, but also because, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like another team would well, sorry, I'm cutting you off, but I feel like another team would be dumb enough to take Con. Not dumb enough. He does bring a lot to a team, and it goes into kind of like Ovechkin's comment during the sort of end of season wrap up today, where he said he sees Tom Wilson as his team's next captain.
And I've been saying that for years, so way to go,
Ovi. You have, but he's also a
What the Puck listener. He listens to us every week. We know it.
That would be amazing. That we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, I have my concerns about that because he is hot-headed, and that's not, in my opinion, that's not what you want from your leader. You don't want your leader to likely have to miss every season or two, miss a couple of games or more games, because he does something dumb. So I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
But he would bring back a lot.
I don't think he would. I think.
You don't think a team would be like, dude, you want to give me a power forward who can score and is a leader out there, even though he makes dumb decisions? You could get a lot for Tom Wilson. And not only that, but he is locked up to a team-friendly contract. For a guy who could play first and second line minutes at 6.5, a cap hit.
Yeah.
Considering what guys are getting now. Like, I would say no to this. He would be an untouchable if he wasn't a dumb. Like, if he stopped taking dumb penalties and getting suspended, this would be a boot camp point. Like, I'd be like, someone would call it, hey, we want to talk to you about taking Tom Wilson. Okay, are you giving me vintage era Crosby? Because, like, that's it. Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon. Like, I want one of those guys. Because he's too important. But if you can't be an important member of this team if you're not going to be out there.
I think all the reasons you just listed is why he would stay at Capital more than anything else. I think he's just got so much bad stuff about him around that no team's going to take that risk. And if they call him like, we'd like to have Tom Wilson, the best they're going to offer is like two prospects. That's what I think. And Caps would laugh at them and hang up the phone. because that's what's going to keep him here. I don't think anybody's going to want the liability of a guy who may or may not scream on the ice. So it's I don't see Wilson going anywhere, and I think that's a good thing for the Capitals, but I don't think he's as sought after as you might think. But hey, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong.
Every team in the league would call, except for maybe the Rangers. Like every other
Utah.
Team.
Utah would be like, we can't have that guy here.
Ooh, they got Clayton Keller, though. I would take that dude from their team in a hot second. Isn't that Clayton Keller? Like, he would bring in some offense. Unless am I mixing him up with somebody else? I'm looking it up now. What did he do this year? Clayton Keller, yeah, he's younger. He's 25. Like, he, let's see. Yeah, 33 goals and 43 assists. Yeah, sign me up. I will take that. But he's going to cost a lot. And I feel like I think Arizona was like, okay, we might be able to like not fleece them, but send them some picks and prospects to get a guy like that. I have a feeling like they're moving to Utah. Utah's like, no, we're building around them.
Right.
Like, so yeah, I think that opportunity is gone. I think everything's really going to work out in Utah. But anyways, you want to get into like the end of season chats stuff, the plethora of our notes.
Let's do that.
Or do you want to talk about the Oshie stuff?
That's a part of it. Let's start off with Oshie. That seems like the big story right now.
Well, so, I mean, there's a lot of, and I don't remember if I texted you this or if I was telling other people, but like after game four, he was the last cap off the ice.
He had a hug and with Tom Wilson on the ice. Last cap off the ice.
He lingered there a bit. I think he's going to retire. I think his heart and his mind is still in playing. But I like he said, his back is so jacked up. He, when it's bad, like I have a bad back, right? Like today I jumped. I was goofing around and I like jumped, not even off of something, just from one part of pavement to another part of pavement. And I was like, oh, my back, that hurt. But I'm not going and getting hit by 245-pound brick, you know what, houses on ice. Like,
right.
His back is so jacked up that like there are times where he can't even get up off the floor. He said he's peeing in water bottles because he can't get up. And he's not even, apparently, if I read this correctly, he's not allowed to pick up his kids until he sees his doctor. For him as a human, either his back needs to get fixed, or I just, as a person, I can't understand why he would come back.
He says if he can find a way to not be in and out of the lineup, that he would come back. But given the fact that he missed so much time this year, his back is so messed up that he has to get on a flight, go to Minnesota to have it fixed, and then he can come back into the lineup. That, I mean, the only way that's going to work is if he leaves the team and goes and plays for the Wild. That's the only way that's going to work, because the doctor's at least closer. But TJ Oshie has given so much to this team, so much to this sport, so much to Team USA. He has meant so much. I don't want to see TJ Oshie broken down and not being able to lift his kids up. So I would hate to see TJ Oshie go, but it might be what's best for him long term. And it's unfortunate, but if the Capitals could keep him here as a coach, as a commentator, something, send him down to Hershey.
Great commentator. I feel like he would be incredibly goofy. Also,
yes.
Real quick, speaking of commentating, so I was watching the post game stuff, and they were who were they talking about? Was it Alexia? Who's got? Hold on. Where's this roster? Oh, I hate this. I usually know all the numbers. I'm totally blanking on it right now. Yeah, Alexiev. So they were talking about him and his progression and how, like, being a season, like, they weren't really key on him. And I think they just used this year a lot of practicing, a couple of games to, like, get him up speed. And he actually became a very solid third pairing defenseman for this team
towards
the end of the season in the playoffs. Really like his progression. Really think he's going to be a solid, at least third pairing defenseman for them next year, with upside of being probably second pairing would be the upside, which is not a bad thing. Like, second pairing on a good team. So they had Carl Alzner doing the post game, and he was quite good. But not only that, he made a quick joke about Alexiev's number. He was like, yeah, first of all, he has a great choice in numbers. Love it. Because Alzner was 27. And but the joke died. Like, I think Alan May and Alexa Landisord like did not get it or something. And no one said anything. And I was like, oh my God, this is like a massive cringe moment on the broadcast. Like, he didn't pause, but I was like, I thought someone was going to laugh or chuckle and nothing. Maybe they smiled, but like nothing happened. I was like, oh, I feel so bad for you. This is so awkward for a second. But then he went into like talking about Alexia. But anyways, like going back to Oshie, he means so much to this team, both on the ice and off the ice. The young guys love him. They feed off of him. I think it would be a massive adjustment for them to not have him in the locker room. But when he says he's not allowed to pick up his children, like me, I have two kids. And if I was like, sorry, you can play next year, but you're going to continue to have these issues, going to be in and out of the lineup, your back's going to be killing you. And there's likely going to be a lot of time where you're not going to be able to like interact really or pick up your kids. And he's got young kids. I think he's got one that's like early elementary, mid elementary age, something like that. Like, no, thank you. Like, I don't think he needs that anymore. Like, why put yourself through that? He's only got 1 year left on his deal. He doesn't have to retire. Technically, he's put him on LTIR. The problem is if you have him and Backstrom both on LTIR, you have no more room for anybody else.
Yeah.
Cause you only get those two spots. So just, there was a comment that he put out today that I saw from Sammy Silver of the Hockey News, I believe, that, He's like, I think I said this before, he's literally on the floor peeing in water bottles, which first of all, gross.
Yeah.
But secondly, just like, why put yourself through that? I doubt he needs the money. So why? Like, hang him. I've never been in that position where it's going to be an incredibly difficult position where I imagine he'll be incredibly emotional. In terms of like not knowing that he's, you know, you're not, I feel like I've heard this before from professional athletes after they retire. It's not playing necessarily that they miss. It's the locker room. It's yeah. being around the fellow athletes and all of that. And I could totally understand. He'd be amazing, I think, as a commentator, like just popping in and out. I think he'd be so good at it. But he also said, like, it would be hard for me to ever say for sure that I'm stepping away from the game. I'd love to play next year, but I will need to come back with a somewhat of a guarantee that my back, and then it was implied that he was saying, like, my back will be okay. I don't know. I feel like that's going to be a massive undertaking in terms of just trying to make it so he's okay. And I also found it rather interesting that he was talking about how he had his family at the games in New York in the event that this was his last year playing. So I feel like he's obviously aware of it.
Yeah.
He even went to his doctor after game two. Like, he flew off to Minnesota to get his back worked on before coming back to playing in 3 and 4. And then he broke his freaking hand during, what was it, game three?
Yeah, during, like, game three.
I think Rempe hit him into the boards and his hand just got kind of squished, he said. Like, why put yourself through it? I know why.
Love of the game. But he has a clothing line. He's got his own clothing line out there. He's been prepping for this. He's got other things lined up after hockey so he can still be active. I mean, could you imagine if he was like an assistant coach or something for Team USA leading up to the 2026 Olympics? Like, that would be.
See, has he ever expressed an interest in coaching?
I probably not, but I don't know how a guy like that can't be a coach when he is such a leader on the ice and in the locker room.
I mean, the reason I bring it up is because, like, in European football, players during their career, during like the off season, or even potentially sometimes during the season, they go and they work on what's called coaching badges. So they go through these like classes and things to learn about coaching. And technically, to coach at the top level in European football, you have to have a coaching license, or your team can get fined for every game you coach. Something like that, or you're not allowed to coach like international tournaments. So you don't hear really about that as much in hockey, at least not we don't. So I don't know. Part of me, I feel like we may have seen TJ Oshie in a Caps jersey for the last, on ice at least, for the last time.
It's sad to think about, but it's very true. I mean, it could have been the last time we saw him, and it sucks going out that way after getting swept by the Rangers. But that that might be what's best for him and his family. So if it is, it was quite a run. It was a blast to watch, but it might be time, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate considering both he and Backstrom potentially likely are going to have to hang it up because are going to have to hang it up because of things outside of their control. Like, they're not going out. They're not leaving the game, at least as a player, on their own terms. And it's always disappointing whenever an athlete has to, or anyone has to do that, you know? So, other interesting tidbits kind of from the end of season chat. So this is kind of in order in terms of, I guess, when they spoke. Carberry was talking about how LaPierre was sent back down to Hershey. So they had a bunch of guys they sent back down to Hershey. They sent, I can't remember if we talk about this a little bit later and down on the farm, but they sent a bunch of guys back to Hershey, one of them being LaPierre, who was sent back down, you know, for his development. But I think that makes 100% sense. Like, why, first of all, why not give Hershey a very good player for their playoff run? Right. But that also gives him a really good opportunity to get more experience. And then he said that Ovechkin's minutes where he played, he didn't play his normal minutes, especially in the elimination game. His game 4 minutes were based on matchups. And so I thought that was interesting that he brought that up. Dylan Strome, who admitted that he talks too fast, also said that he's not going to be playing for Canada at the world tournament. So he was given the offer or the opportunity and he declined.
So I want to ask you about that. So Dylan Strome is not going to Worlds. I know that Charlie Lindgren was offered a role as well, and he turned them down. Is the World Championship just – is it not as – I don't know if glamorous is the right word, but does it not mean as much as it once did? Because, like, I remember – the Caps would lose in the first or second round and Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Orlov would be on the first plane out of there to go play in the World Championship. I know Sidney Crosby played in the World Championship. Who was it? Matt Hendricks played in the World Championship. Like, there is a special moment to be a part of that tournament. But the last couple of years, I think Rasmus Sandin went last year. But other than that, that was it. Is it just the World Championship just doesn't mean as much as it once did? Are people waiting to play internationally just for the Olympics? I'm a little confused that we just keep hearing these players decline a chance to go.
Could be that the tournament is not as important as it used to be. It could be that players are tired. They're more beat up. They now, knowing as much as we do about fitness and staying healthy, they want to give their bodies that chance to rest before they go into next season.
Sure.
And I feel like a lot of that probably plays into why at the end of the season, they're just like, I need a break. So that would be my guess as to why more of the players aren't going. But well, another guy not going, although I think that's because country's not allowed, is Ovechkin's off to Dubai. So he's going to get, a nice little break. And we talked before about how he sees that Tom Wilson as the team's next captain. He talked about some other things in terms of like his new sticks he really likes and how he was disappointed how the season ended, obviously. Tom Wilson put out some interesting comments about Rempe. One of them I was a little confused about in terms of, he said that, he was explaining the reason as to why he was being a little overly physical and, ended up getting the too many penalties, but that there's a certain point where he being Rempe, hits enough of your teammates. He felt like in that moment, he wanted to stand up for his teammates. And then he said, maybe that'll be his one chance. What does that mean? Is he threatening the dude to be like, I'm going to go beat you up if you hit anybody else? Because
I thought he said maybe his one chance. That was his one chance to like get to the Stanley Cup. That's the way I took it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case necessarily. I think the Rangers are going to be a good team for a little while, but whatever. I thought that was a weird comment. Pacioretty said he hasn't thought about free agency or his future just yet. I don't know about your thoughts, but I'm fine with Pacioretty signing somewhere else. Because I think that in the end, I think it was a high reward, low risk move. The $2 million that they're going to end up having on the books for him next year because of bonuses that were given out is annoying, but not the end of the world. Because I think they're going to have is a little bit of confusion on Twitter in terms of how this is going to work. But I'm pretty sure they're going to have about $14 million. And that's with Backstrom on LTIR and before any decisions are made about TJ Oshie, they'll have about $14 million to play with. That's also before re-signing McMichael and Beck Malmsteen. So we'll learn more about those guys. We know that McClellan has, he said today that he's begun conversations or has had conversations, I should say, with both of their representatives. I'm curious to see how much they get, especially considering Protas was re-signed. What did he get? His cap, it came out to 3. Stupid advertisement. $3.375 million. So I would imagine McMichael probably is around there. Malinson probably what? Malinson's coming off of just over $762,000. He's probably going to get like 1.5, 1.75, maybe something around there. So that's $5-6 million. That might not be how math works. $5-5.5 million of your cap hit taken up. So maybe you actually have like $9 million to play with. Needing to fill, I think, 2 roster spots. Let's see who else was talking. Lindgren. He had some good things to say about Darcy Kuemper and what he's meant to his development in terms of how he played this season. He talked about how he got invited to play the world's tournament for the US. And he said, no, thank you. I think he wants to go fly fishing with his grandfather or something.
Yeah. I saw that.
Martin Ferravari got invited to play at worlds and hasn't decided yet if he's going to go. And then McClellan talked for a bit. He said he's got a lot of respect for Oshie. He's not going to give him a deadline or a timeline on when Oshie has to decide about next season, which I think is the right thing to do considering what he's meant to this organization. I don't think you say you need to know by a certain point, as I feel like that's just disrespectful to him. Like I said, he's had conversations with Malinson and McMichael. I think they're going to be both good players for this team for a long time. He anticipates that Kuemper is going to bounce back next season, but I feel like he has to say that because if they're looking to move him, which it sounds like, at least according to Elliot Friedman, you know, if they want to move Darcy Kuemper, you're not going to come out and say, yeah, he had a bad year. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like next season. You're going to come out and say, you know what? He had a down year, but we fully expect him to bounce back. He's going to be a really good goalie for us next year. Because if you're another GM and you hear the Caps talking smack about their own goalie, you're like, well, if I wanted to acquire that guy, I'm definitely giving you a lot less. Because clearly you want to get rid of him. So none of that was a bit of a surprise. I thought it was interesting, not in a bad way necessarily, or mostly in a good way, but he said he wants to leave room for players to grow, but he's also going to seek some moves via free agency and through trades. I don't see them acquiring a winger unless they're going to pay a boatload for Sam Reinhart. I don't see, unless he got signed recently that I didn't see. I don't see them really making a big money move in free agency. I feel like that's going to happen more this offseason in a trade. Yeah. Like I think, cause I think after Reinhart, you're not really having guys that put up a ton of points. He expects Backstrom to remain on long-term injured reserve. And he has, no decision has been made as of now in terms of Backstrom's future. We found out that Ethan Bear was just released. I think it might've been today from the player assistance program. So good to know that he is doing better. And that he actually was happy with the coaching staff, but he does want to look at sort of their special teams and see how they can improve there.
Which is crazy because that was Carberry's bread and butter when he was in Toronto.
When you're the head coach, you can't just focus on one aspect.
Sure, but you would think he'd be like, hey, this is why this isn't going well, and like giving some hints as to what he sees. So
yeah, and maybe some of that was personnel, some of that was just young guys, some of that was them learning. I know a lot of commentators for the Caps were talking about how it took them a long time to get out of their familiarity with how they were doing things before and get used to the ways to do it now. I feel like that makes some sense, but I don't buy that completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, the no buyouts, which I don't think they can afford to do that this year, especially considering they have money on their cap, both from the $2 million for Pacioretty, as well as the money left over from, also they have money left over from Kuznetsov for next year, as well as, no, I'm sorry, it's just Kuznetsov. They have 3.9. That'll be dead cap money. As they retain that as part of the Kuznetsov trade to Carolina. It's going to be a big offseason.
Yeah. And if it's not a big offseason, then I think as Caps fans, we need to worry.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I think we know they're going to go after some goal scoring. as they need some other goal scorers not named Alex. They currently have 17 players under contract, including Ethan Bear. So they don't have to spend a ton, right? They don't have like only 12 guys signed up and only 14 million to play with, because then you have a problem. They really only need to sign three dudes going into next season, and you've got your roster, at least your main players every night, or more or less. And they got money to play with. You know, right now their scheduled free agents are Pacioretty, who I think goes, and Abe Kubel, who I think is not going to be a focus right now. I think their focus are their restricted free agents, which is McMichael, Malinston, Ethan Frank, and Riley Sutter. And Frank and Sutter being in Hershey, I think they're going to want to try and bring those guys back. And, you know, I'm a little shocked that we never saw Ethan Frank come up.
That's who could take the place of Abe Kubel.
So I don't know him well enough to know if he's able to kind of play that defensive role a bit, you know, but maybe that's something that could work out. Yeah. You know, the off season, to be fair, the off season's here, I think, later than we probably deserved, right. But earlier than we hoped for. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, anything else we should talk about here in Caps World? We kind of went a little over, like we don't normally go this long for just Caps World.
Well, yeah, a lot to talk about, man. And there's certainly going to be more coming up once the playoffs are over, I would imagine, as we get into the offseason. Although, what is free agency? July 1st?
It's around the 4th of July normally, yeah.
When is, let's see, NHL free agency? It'd be helpful if I could type correctly. So I want to say it's July date. Let's try that. July 1st. And then when is the draft? I gotta be so specific. Friday, June 28th, and Saturday, June 29th.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I expect things to be a little quiet, at least in terms of like bringing in other guys. I don't know when right. You can make trades again. I imagine maybe it's the day after the cup. I don't know. I probably should know this, but I can't remember.
I don't know, but I think the draft's coming up, and I think I'll be doing a solo show at that point if it's in the end of July or end of June, early July.
No, I mean, we just have to plan it because I get a little busy in the summer, but we'll do the occasional summer show. We just have to plan it pretty well.
Yeah.
Maybe record on a Friday night or a weekend when I don't have to go to bed earlier.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking about the Hershey Bears and their quest for the Calder Cup. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where they received some reinforcements for their upcoming playoff series against Lehigh Valley, as the Caps sent forwards Hendrix LaPierre and Ivan Miroshnichenko, defenseman Lucas Johansson, Dylan McElrath, and Hardy Hammond-Achtel, and goalie Mitchell Gibson to the Bears. They sent defenseman Vincent Iorio down as well, though he has not been cleared, at least as of our recording, to play after being injured against the Rangers. Now, the Bears will begin their best of five series with Lehigh Valley this Wednesday at the Giants Center. Game two is Saturday before heading to Lehigh Valley next Wednesday, and if necessary, Saturday the 11th. A potential game five is scheduled for Sunday, May 12th in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's what's going on down on the farm.
I haven't been to Hershey in a while. I gotta get up there. It's a fun little town.
It's nice.
Maybe I can go see a Bears game, get some chocolate. It's a good day. It's a good weekend day. I have to check it out. All right. Well, go Bears. Go get back-to-back Calder Cups, boys. Let's take another break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Plenty of stuff going on. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Let's start in New York, where the NHL has announced a few of their end-of-season award finalists. So we'll start with the Vezina Trophy awarded to the top goaltender. I just have an advertisement pop up. That makes this harder to read. The finalists are Sergei Bobrovsky of the Florida Panthers, Thatcher Demko of the Vancouver Canucks, and Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets. The Calder Memorial Trophy, which goes to the league's Rookie of the Year, and I think we all know who's going to get this one. Connor Bedard of the Chicago Blackhawks, Brock Faber of the Minnesota Wild, and Luke Hughes of the New Jersey Devils. Let's head over to Chicago, where the Blackhawks signed defenseman Alex Vlasic to a six-year, $27.6 million deal. Cap hit comes to $4.6 million. Nashville winger Michael McCarron was fined $2,000 for goaltender interference that occurred against Vancouver goalie Casey DeSmith. Now, Seattle was the latest team to shake up their coaching staff as they fired head coach Dave Haxtell. The first head coach in that team's history, he led them to a 107, 112, and 27 record over their first three seasons. Assistant coach Paul McFarland was also let go. In some international hockey news, the U18 men's tournament quarterfinals are set. Team USA will take on Switzerland, while Slovakia will be up against the Czech Republic. There's no history there. Finland takes on Sweden, while Canada will head up against Latvia. Now let's go back over to the NHL playoffs as things... While the first round isn't quite final yet, I think you did a better job with some of your guesses than I did. I went back. I don't know if you caught this, but you highlighted. But you got the, I think it was Florida versus Tampa. You got right. I think we both had Florida. Thanks. We both had Florida winning, but you had it in five. I had it in, where did I have it? Did I have it in six? Yeah. So Florida beat Tampa in five games. Boston is currently up 3-1 on Toronto. Rangers on the Caps, and Carolina's up 3-1 on the Islanders. Who did I have? Oh, I had Carolina in six.
Yeah.
You had Islanders seven. Okay. And then over in the West, well, I screwed up last time because it turns out that Vegas did win. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Vegas lost. So it ended up being Dallas versus Vegas, which currently are tied at two games apiece. We've got Colorado against Winnipeg. Colorado's up 3-1. Vancouver is up 3-1 on Nashville. And Edmonton took on the LA Kings. Edmonton is up 3-1. You had Vancouver, right? Yeah, I had Canucks in five. You had Canucks in four. Ha! So you can't get that one right. if Vegas wins, I mean, if Vancouver wins their next game, I got that one right. Let's see. Colorado and Winnipeg, I think, was the other one. You had Colorado in five. I had Colorado in seven. So you might get that one correct as well. Well done to you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't think we can count the other ones because I screwed up and didn't do both. What if we were talking about it last week? What do we have? Boston, Toronto. I had Toronto in seven. Oops. And Austin Matthews is not playing in game five tonight. So I botched that one completely.
Uh-oh.
And you had Boston in seven. I think you, at least you might get the team right, but probably not the number of games. And I think we talked about the rest of them. So yeah, but yeah, that's what's going around the NHL.
Wow, lots of stuff going on. I put out my bracket at the end of April and saying my Stanley Cup final was Canucks and Capitals. And our good friend Phil wrote to me and said, "Were you drunk when you made this?" So he did not agree. Yeah. And I said I was pre-drunk from sipping from two Stanley Cups. But unfortunately, we still just got the one. But one is better than none. But 2018 keeps getting farther and farther away. Maybe I'll just rewatch the 2018 series because I have all of the games except for one game against Pittsburgh. And I think I shared them all with you as well.
Yes, you did, sir.
Yeah. So maybe I'll just rewatch that. I'll just remember the good old days. You know, I wish there was a way you knew you were in the good old days before you left them. That was an Andy Bernard quote. Oh. But Coach Dan, is that the show for this week?
I think that's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is follow us both on X. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where I'm talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, though maybe not so much in the immediate future, given there's probably not a lot that's going to happen for the next couple of weeks. One thing that annoyed me about Twitter, this has happened twice to me so far, but in playoff, I think the first time was also a playoff series against the Rangers, but twice now I have had, not viral, but like I've had tweets that I've put out get liked by a number of Ranger fans. Twice this has happened to me. That needs to stop being a thing. But I'm also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club. To anyone out there listening that is a Tottenham Hotspur fan, one, I question your judgment, but also North London is in fact red. Big win over the weekend, nervy win, but a big win over the North London rivals. They are always in our shadow. Also on there talking about the Bills and the Commanders and the other things in the wide world of sports, but that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you have enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthebuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, the South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cups from time to time, and the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was talking about the Bills and Commanders ever so briefly. The draft did just recently occur. And if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should check out?
Yes, you can listen to my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. Right before I got on the mics with Dan, I did a show with my buddy Josh talking about the Ravens draft picks and how the Buffalo Bills fumbled the draft, helping the Kansas City Chiefs get a wide receiver that was the fastest guy in the draft when they themselves are in need of a wide receiver. So I don't know what the Bills were doing.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, first of all, the Chiefs have another ring because the Ravens botched their play in the playoffs, but we'll avoid that conversation for right now. I blame the Ravens 100% for the Chiefs having won the Super Bowl this past year.
Anyways, I blame Taylor Swift.
I am confused how that she's responsible. Anyways, that threw me. What was I going to say? Do you remember the movie The Replacements?
Oh, great movie. Filmed right here in Baltimore.
Yes, it was. Do you remember? They didn't even try to pretend like it wasn't DC. Do you remember the character played by Orlando Brown, where he's a wide receiver and he's super fast, but he can't catch?
Right.
I don't care how fast this dude is for Kansas City. He better be able to catch the ball, because if he can't catch the ball, it ain't going to matter. He also needs to be aware of how to line up before the snap. Anyways, the Bills got a wide receiver that they needed. They definitely didn't botch it. And the Chiefs got lucky winning this one this year because the other teams around them wrapped the bed. But anyways, go back to your Ravens podcast.
I will say this, listen to The Call, but I will say this. I think that Kansas City made that pick. It was a wide receiver, which my buddy Josh picked for the Ravens to draft, which I thought was hysterical that the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, picked the guy that my buddy Josh said the Ravens would pick. But I think after that happened, they were like, oh, we got to go defense, because if they're getting this young, really fast wide receiver, we got to get the second fastest guy in the draft in Nate Wiggins and a cornerback. So I can see these two guys lining up against each other a whole lot this year. I also predict that the Ravens Chiefs will open up the NFL season in Kansas City. But that's my, we talk about that on The Call. That's where you should listen to us. Big thanks to the Buffalo Bills, because they fumbled that.
You're big time. Welcome.
Big time. They went back and then they went back again. What? You got out of the second. You got out of the first round. What are you doing? They're not as bad as the Falcons. I think we can all agree that. What a fumble. Yeah,
that was so weird.
Yeah.
In like a year or two, if they drafted a quarterback, I could be like, okay, I get it. Why did you do that now? Literally after you got this dude and are likely going to get in trouble in terms of how you brought him in.
Yeah.
So, what? It probably was the case by that video going around of the owner going up to the GM and basically with the question of like, what? What are you doing?
They're like, we really like this guy, and he's going to be our quarterback in 4 years. Well, he's already 24. He's going to start at 28. Weird.
It was an odd move.
Yeah.
Why really would you do that now?
I don't know. But anyway, about this podcast, write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. Rate us over on Spotify. Let people know about the show. Let people know on social media, whatever social media network you use. Use TikTok while you still can. But let everybody know, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So I guess stay subscribed to the show. Follow us on X. Follow us on Facebook. We do have a YouTube account, Brando Cash Pods. You can watch shorts there as well. So make sure you do that. But I don't know when we're going to do a show again. Right now, it's kind of up in the air. When news breaks, we'll decide to do a show about it. So make sure you just stay subscribed as things come a little bit more sporadic moving on. Maybe we'll be guests on other shows down the line. Who knows? We'll see. But I think that's pretty much it. Big thank you to the Fans First Sports Network for inviting us onto their network this year. We've really enjoyed being a part of it and having a lot of fun here. And it was a nice advancement for our long tenured podcast careers that Coach Dan and I have right now. So it has been a lot of fun this year. This is an exciting team to watch. We're going to have a good time this offseason because who knows what's going to happen next. Like, really, there's a bunch of different ways this team can go, and we'll see what happens down the road. But Coach Dan, I think that's it for the show this week. Yes, they lost. Yes, they're out of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we're all still fans here. So say it with me, loud and proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.